in the shadow of Rockford Tower, behind enemy lines, in the belly of the Delaware Way Beast. I'm Rob. This is the Highlands Bunker Podcast. Hello. I am currently in the shadow of Rockford Tower. When you're hearing this, who knows where I'll be. Where Carl and I were today is Legislative Hall in Dover. Most states call it their state capitol or their state house. We call it Leg Hall because we just do goofy shit. That's what we do. It's Delaware, baby. But we were there to cover an important lobby day for Senate Bill 10. Senate Bill 10's sponsor is Brian Townsend. I feel he owes us one. He knows why. But this is a good bill. And we talked to a lot of people who are trying to make it happen. We talked to policy people. We talked to a lot of people who tell their personal stories. Because this bill is about prisoners and ex-prisoners. And trying to get some compassionate release. Trying to get people treated like human beings. To improve our community and improve our neighborhoods. So you're going to learn more about it in a few minutes. What I'd like to do before we get into that is mention that on Saturday, May 11th at 11 a.m., there is a group of comrades and friends of the podcast that are going to be having a climate liberation picnic in Brandywine Park. There's going to be crafts. There's going to be solidarity. You can talk with a lot of people who are activists in the community. I love these people. They're out every day trying to protect homeless people. They're trying to protect the environment. They're trying to protect people's civil rights. So go out there. Go to the Climate Liberation Picnic in Brandywine Park. You know where it is, across from the zoo. Bring a picnic. There'll be snacks there. There'll be crafts. And you can just hang out, meet some cool people. So just a little plug for that. So now we'll get into it. Carl and I made the long road to Dover, but for an important reason, for SB 10. We'll let the experts talk about it. So here you are. Is that Medina? Medina. Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just saw you. I was going to say hello. We're recording right now. Would you like to say something?
Hi, listeners.
Hello. So if that's any indication, that was Representative Medina. If we sound down, if we sound gloomy, if we sound sort of, you know, not our best selves, it's because we're in the pit. We're in the Viper's pit right now. We're on the marble floors of Legislative Hall. But we do have a cool story to bring you today. There's a lobby day going on, ex-prisoner lobby day, for some legislation that's being proposed to try to ameliorate some of the problems in the prisons, let some people out who have served their time, served plenty of time, aren't a real threat to us any longer, and it's a great idea. So we're gonna have some people to explain what this day is about, what the legislation's about. And also some people to tell their stories and why this is so important. Carl is with me. Thank you, Carl, for coming here.
Hello. Yeah.
I know it's not your favorite thing either.
Yeah. Well, you got to come down here sometimes.
Yeah. And we've seen some VIPs already. Saw Kevin O'Connell from ODS, the chief defender. We saw Medina. So, you know, there are some friends here and there, and we just try to stick together, give each other a nod when we see each other. Folks, the things I do for you guys, I can't even believe it. All right, well, let's get to it. So, first off, why are we here and what's going on? We'd like to welcome Tanya Whittle, who is the Director of Policy for the Delaware Center for Justice, who is a main organizer and leader of this sort of this lobby day. Can you give us just a little background about what the lobby day is and what legislation's on the table?
Happy to. So we are here for Ex-Prisoner Lobby Day, and if you could see that in writing, you would see that X is in parentheses. So we're here supporting people that are currently incarcerated as well as people that are formerly incarcerated. The bills that we're focusing on have to do with recognizing that people are capable of change, but we need to actually create systems that allow them to be successful once they change. So primarily SB 10 or Senate Bill 10 is compassionate release, and we are pushing to have the eligibility to apply for consideration for compassionate release expanded. So currently here in the state of Delaware, anyone with a life without parole sentence is not eligible to apply to be considered for compassionate release by a judge. And so we are trying to change that with SB 10 and make it where even if someone had been sentenced to a life sentence or life without parole, if they are seriously ill and or if they have proven to be rehabilitated and low risk to the community, they should be allowed to apply to be considered by a judge. And then a judge will have the discretion on whether or not they can come home.
Yeah, and just to be clear, there's also other criteria. I always have to be the one to point out that everything has to be means tested. The people who will be eligible for application will also have served quite a bit of time, over 15 years for prisoners who are, I think, over 60, and then 25 years if you're under 60. Is that how it works? So we're talking about individuals who have served a lot of time in terrible situations, and at least this gives them an opportunity to present themselves as rehabilitated and try to get compassionate release. So what has happened so far today? I can't believe I'm talking to you here on the marble floors, on the polished marble floors of Legg Hall. How's it gone so far? It's about noon, so you've already done, I know, a bunch of things starting at about 9 this morning. How's it been going?
It's been great so far. We've had wonderful turnout. This morning we started at the Dover Library to have a little, you know, prep session, you could say. Had opening remarks from Floor McKendall from Delaware's NAACP. We marched over together, chanting all the way from the library to Legg Hall. And then once we were out front of Legg Hall, had a prayer circle, recognizing that we are here as representatives of many different people, faiths, belief systems, and supporting a variety of different bills, but all of us wanting compassion brought back to our justice system.
What's the status of SB 10? Is it in committee? Is it out of committee? Is it going to be getting a full floor vote soon? Where are we at in the status of it?
So right now, SB 10 is still being heard in Senate committees. It had its first hearing in the Corrections and Public Safety Committee before the spring recess, and the public comment was overwhelmingly in support. Every single person that spoke up was in support of the bill, and although it's not typically allowed, there were applause after every single public comment because people really were speaking from the heart. So it sailed through that committee. It is now with the Senate Finance Committee, and hopefully it will make it through. There's potential that there will be a substitute bill to address the fiscal note. But we are hoping that it will be on the Senate floor very soon and that we will be able to have another opportunity for impacted people, those that work in the system and those that have family in the system, to give public comment again and tell everyone why this is so badly needed.
Yeah, so the fiscal note, I guess, would cover any additional cost it would take for the criminal justice system to work through these applications and the application process. I'm very interested to see what it is because, you know, we've looked at it and the numbers aren't incredible as many people can come through this. So, you know, it seems workable and it seems like something we should be paying for regardless of its cost. So, you know, I'm asking everyone to call their senator and just say, this is something that we need to move forward with now. We understand there is a negligible cost in running the process, but the processes are in place. The processes are in place to deem people rehabilitated. The programs are there. And so, you know, this is the time to move forward. So,
yeah, and you make a really good point there that we are not asking for new processes to be created. We're asking for the existing processes to be expanded so that people that are serving long sentences can be considered for compassionate release. Because right now there's a system there, but they're not even allowed to apply.
Well, Tanya, I know you got to run. I know you have a bunch of meetings scheduled today to tell more important people than me to do the something. So I very much appreciate you taking a few minutes to talk.
I appreciate you guys being out here. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Carl. And we are going to be pushing for SB 10 to pass, as well as the fines and fees legislation. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, I saw fines and fees got filed. I was very happy to see that, to alleviate some of those issues as well. So, yeah, a lot of stuff going on down here. We're trying to stay involved in it. We're swallowing our pride and coming here. So call your senators. Keep up with this stuff. It's really important. Thanks, Tanya.
Thank you.
We have Muhammad here, who has been part of the lobby day and telling his story. Thanks for joining us. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. What I'd like to talk about is, you know, I did 41 years of incarceration. And upon my release, you know, back into society, they have a lot of reentry programs out there that they said help us reintegrate back into society, which, you know, most of them don't. You know, when I came out, I was on my own. If it wasn't for family, I'd probably be back, locked back up. But because of my family, I was able to get a job. I was able to save money, get a car. I was able to get my own apartment, you know, with the help of family. And what I like to see is that guys that's done a lot of time, that's been incarcerated, once they get out, I would like to see that they are equipped with the right tools to reintegrate back into society and be successful. And some of the tools is just simple as an ID, a birth certificate, a social security card, because you need these things to, you know, get a job. You know, you need these things out here to get a license. You need a social security card. You need, you know, a proper ID, birth certificate. You need these things out. And another thing is be able to navigate the phone, you know, because everything is done on a phone. When I came out, it was challenging, you know, because I had to learn how to operate the phone just to fill out an application, you know, because most of everything is done on the phone, you know, your debit, your bank accounts, and so on, you know, are done over the phone. So I would like to see, you know, programs where guys could, you know, use these tools to help them, you know, make it easy for them when they re-enter society, you know, again.
Yeah, I think that's really important. People forget that is, you know, something as simple as the technology that comes out that you're not familiar with, you can't even really access the things that might even be there. So we really are calling for a far more robust program of support, of services, and all kinds of things to get people back, you know, on their feet and into society after quite a long time, quite a long time. Well, it's good to see you out here.
Yes.
I'm glad to be here.
Yes, and I'm glad to be a part of the community again, working, paying taxes, you know, living life. It's beautiful after 41 years. You know, just learning, you know, like I said, the basic things of how to operate a phone, take pictures with a phone, you know, fill out applications with a phone, you know, vacations, you know, all these things again, you know, are very, 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 you know, beautiful, you know, it's the experience again.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, and you're welcome.
Thanks for coming. We have another participant here, John, who you came in your full gear today.
Came in the DOCs today. It's obviously today's a day to celebrate in terms of having the opportunity to present Senate Bill 10, I'm sorry. And I wanted to come dressed in what I wore every day for 17 years in Smyrna, which is the DOC whites. And this ID that I have here is, if you can clearly see, it's not me. This is the ID of a really good friend of mine. It's actually a friend of a lot of ours, including Dawu, who you just spoke to. His name is Gerald Collins. He's been locked up for 34 years, and he's one of the many people that would fall under the Senate Bill 10 that we're trying to get push through the Senate and then, of course, to the House for approval.
So he would meet the criteria to be able to apply for release.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, I think that's so important. I'm so glad you pointed that out and showed me that, because I get discouraged sometimes about the number of people this would help, but there is a lot of people that are going to be eligible now for compassionate release that need it and deserve it, and the faster we can do this, the faster we can get people back on their feet.
If you're not familiar with the three specific prongs of compassionate release, it's anybody who's over 60 with at least 15 years served, anyone who's got 25 years of incarceration served, or anyone who has any serious documented medical issue that needs relief from outside of the prison walls would be the other prong, the medical, hence
and I
compassionate.
Think they do some very, very narrowly defined compassionate release now for medical only, I think.
Yep.
But this will sort of expand all of that with those three prongs, and it's something we think is incredibly necessary. Thank you for coming out. Did you speak this morning, too?
I did. So we've had meetings. We've had three meetings so far, legislative meetings, with Senator Townsend, who's actually the sponsor of SB 10. We also met with Representative Frank Burns, and we just left a meeting with Senator Richardson, who's down at a district that serves Del Mar, Seaford, and Laurel.
Yeah, what was Senator Richardson's how open was he to this?
He's one of the senators who's had some bipartisan history when it comes to criminal justice reform, and so listening to some of the personal stories that were shared, as well as understanding what the tenets of the bill are and represent, he's very supportive, and he even said he would contemplate even sponsoring the bill. So he's not only in support of the bill, but he said he may co-sponsor it as well, which to me would be obviously, you know, would be amazing if he would do that.
Yeah, I mean, we started this out when we were speaking with Tanya about calling your senator and, you know, and making this case. And there you go. There's a Republican senator from downstate.
Southwest Delaware, right.
Southwest Delaware, who understands that this is an issue that is important, who sat and listened. And so this is something we can do now. So it is important to be engaged in this and push this over the goal line this session.
I think the one thing that's really important from a values perspective is anybody, you know, especially if you're a spiritual person and you understand the value of redemption and second chances, it really speaks to anybody from either side of the aisle, right? Like it's just a matter of what its perception is, and how maybe a senator or representative's base may look at it. You know, are you being soft on crime? No, this is absolutely not a soft on crime. This is a good for the economy, good for humanity bill we're talking about.
Yeah, here. I think that's the biggest thing is humanity. Any kind of spirituality that you believe in redemption, even if you just believe in human beings, you believe in second chances and allowing people to learn from their mistakes. To do the things that, to demonstrate that. And also, you know, the time served requirements and that criteria, you got to think that's a long time. 15 years or 20 years is a very long time to be just to be blocked in a cage for something.
One of the things that I've learned, and obviously people like Dawu and some others that have done time will tell you, you know, not only does time change someone mentally, it, you know, significant amount of time changes people biologically too. And that needs to be understood. Like, I gave away half my 20s, all of my 30s, and half my 40s. You know, I didn't come in the same person biologically, right? Like, I'm older, I'm dealing with, you know, issues that I wasn't dealing with when I was 24, 25. Now I'm 50. So there's a lot of things that we got to look at from a, you know what, it's not just the mental growth or the emotional or spiritual growth. It's just the reality of biology, too.
Yeah, we're the same age, and I understand exactly what you mean because I'm 50 as well, and my body does not work like it did before. It's working completely differently, no doubt. Well, thank you. I appreciate you coming down. I appreciate you, you know, speaking up. I know it takes courage to speak up anyway, but to speak up and come and say, yeah, I was incarcerated, but this is a way to move forward. I've moved forward. It's inspirational. Really.
It is. And by moving forward, a lot of us are reaching back, right? Like that's one of the values we basically internalized while we did this time is, man, the men that I serve time with are really responsible for who I became. right? Like who the values that I have now and how I like to treat people and how I view the world and how I view humanity. And so it's my, I feel like it's a duty of mine to give back to them, not only by visiting them while they're there, but advocating them at any juncture I can. And so having a forum like this where you're giving voice to the powerless, right, and the voiceless is to be commended. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Sure. I really appreciate you coming down.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot.
Absolutely.
We're back. Sir, state your name and state your intentions.
Yes. So my name is Liam Schofield. I'm the project manager and co-founder of Buenarang Nonprofit. I'm also someone who has lived experience as well. And basically our nonprofit is trying to take the information that we've, you know, gathered from talking to people who have lived experience, people working in this space and everything, to try and raise the bar on reentry housing and programming to reduce recidivism and help individuals who have been impacted by justice involvement to have meaningful lives.
What's the biggest roadblock in the housing? Housing's a big thing no matter what. Affordable housing for people, getting them, getting them decent housing stock. But it must be triply or difficult for people coming out of being incarcerated.
Yeah, so the brutal reality, to kind of be brutally honest here, is a lot of the, I'm not saying all, I'm saying a lot of the providers for the transitional and reentry housing are predatory. This is something we've seen with clients. This is something that I've seen from both sides of things. A lot of times the scenario is, because there's little to no oversight on this, somebody is renting a room, and usually the people are living in a high crime area or a lot of, you know, mold, bed bugs, what have you. And unfortunately, this is identified as a contributing factor to recidivism, because if people feel miserable in their living space, you know, they're more likely to want to, you know, we call it getting a case of the efforts, and they just don't care. And we've seen this happen time and again where it results in violations of probation. So I would say, unfortunately, in many cases, the impediment is the actual quality of the housing. There are a lot of people who are willing to rent rooms for their own personal gain and not really have the interest of the clients at heart.
Yeah, how do we address it?
So the program that we're working on, we're hoping to collaborate with lawmakers to provide a useful model. They can make it a standard that landlords would have to follow. So we saw this last year to a certain extent with the recovery housing space, where there was more criteria put on, like, how you can call yourself a recovery house to kind of hold them to a standard. Currently, in, like, overall reentry housing, there isn't such a thing. So community partnership is everything, partnering with interested lawmakers, community partners, agencies like PERCOD, Partners of Reentry of Delaware, and coming together and having a discussion on to what this should look like to raise the bar on the reentry housing.
Now, is this part of SB 10, or is this just something you're working on, this housing piece, to put that criteria in place to sort of ameliorate this sort of the case of the fuckets?
Yeah, no, not directly a part of SB 10. I mean, unless you're looking at the sense of, you know, like was brought up in some of the breakaway committees today, you know, when somebody gets out, where do they stay? You know, in that sense, certainly we want people to have humane housing. But no, SB 10 is more so about getting them out. But in the overall scope of justice reform, I think this factors in.
Cool. Well, is there anything on the docket are you working with anybody in particular to try to address this from a legislative standpoint?
Yeah, so Senator Lockman has been a tremendous ally. We've had numerous meetings with her, and we're collaborating to try and bring this program together specifically. And then there's other parties who are interested, you know, to a lesser extent, but we've talked with and, you know, everything else. But yeah, she's definitely a great ally and a big proponent of, you know, people having places to stay that are humane and they can thrive there.
Yeah. Yeah, and I hope people understand this is important for all of us. It just builds a healthier neighborhood, a healthier community, all of that stuff when, you know, there's a mechanism to get people housed properly, get people the services that they want, as we talked about earlier. It's all part of making us all more healthy and making us all safer and letting people sort of move on with their lives. I'm glad you came out to talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's something that's important for people to consider, even for detractors. If there's any detractors that are listening that kind of feel like, oh, well, you know, if you don't like it, don't commit a crime or whatever. I mean, we're talking about, you know, reentry. We're talking about the back end of things, meeting people where they're at. And that's good for society. You know, like I say frequently, we don't want people that feel like they have nothing left to lose, or everywhere they turn, there's a wall that's thrown up. We want people to feel like there's a path forward to, you know, function and be beneficial to society, and that's the way to do it.
Yeah, and let's be clear, no matter what you think about it, the people that we're talking about have served their time a lot of time. They've made, they've been productive. They've demonstrated, you know, their recovery and their and we just, you know, we have to keep that in mind too, because we can't just have this idea that, you know, you've done one thing and that's it. We just give up on you. It's not healthy, and it's not good for anyone, especially the people who it comes down on the hardest. So
absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
Liam, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Folks, guess who we just saw here at Legislative Hall? You're not going to believe it. Are you familiar with the Wilmington activist and author, Timeless Thomas? You should be, because he's sitting right next to me. What's going on, man?
Oh, man, thank you so much for having me. It's Timeless Thomas, and I'm down here in Dover at Legislative Hall. It's the Ex-Offender Advocacy Lobbying Day. We're meeting with lawmakers, we're meeting with bill introducers, and we're talking what we got to talk. We're advocating for the voiceless, and it feels good. The environment is wholesome. They appear to be listening. Now, whether they're going to act on what they heard, that's a whole nother story, but we're here.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big thing. The turnout's great. Everybody's feeling it, and it's such a an important cause, and it's the people who have been in and know what it is coming out and speaking for their comrades and their friends who are trying to take advantage of this and get some compassionate release.
We're pushing for compassionate release, and also we're just trying to get all these Flintstone bills turned into Jetson bills, man. And you heard it right here first at the Holland Bunker Podcast.
That's right. You know we're always trying to do it. Oh, here we go. Mike Bartley, Clean Slate. It's good to meet you. How are you?
Oh, man, everything's fine, man. Wonderful day. Wonderful day to be in Dover, state's capital.
I'm so, you know, I usually joke about it being like real bad vibes here, and I don't like coming because, but to see everybody come out for something like this and be in the spirits that you guys are in, I can't help but be up for it, you know, yes. to feel good.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I'm glad you're feeling that way, man. And you look around, man, and a lot of people are feeling good. This place used to have a sense of down and not uncertainty, you know what I'm saying? So now, you know, we come in, man, with this new energy, man, of love, care, concern, and understanding. And, you know, we're changing the dynamic of things, man, up and down the state of Delaware, you know.
Yeah, I love it. Who you've been involved in meetings today, I assume, talking
yes.
about your story, meeting people.
Yes.
How did it go?
Yeah, it went well, man. I was introducing myself to the people. You know, I'm also the vice president of the Home Team Chosen Ones, which is a statewide organization of guys. You know, while I was incarcerated, we connected and we came home with positive reinforcements and doing things in our community. So we're together and we're doing it up and down the state in all three counties right now, and just doing the work.
Yeah, it's wonderful to see so many people, number one, be active, because, you know, what my buddy Hanif says, you got to be active. That's number one. And number two, it's so great to see sort of disparate groups working on different things, working on services, working on housing, all of that stuff sort of coming together behind this because it's so important.
Yes, sir. We're big on solidarity, man. You know, and that's the key word, solidarity, man. And I'm glad to see all people from all walks of life. Diversity, you know what I mean? Nobody, there's no, it's a thing that says sometimes you, sometimes me, but always us. You know what I mean? That right there explains the biggest key to it all is solidarity in the state of Delaware.
Yeah. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Yes, sir, man. But
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for, you know, having me, man. Looking forward to things like this happening on a regular basis. And they're going to get used to seeing us coming down here and speaking up for the people and hopefully having some great solutions, you know, so people can leave here smiling.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you so much. We are now joined by, he's really legendary in the activism scene. I don't mean to embarrass him, but Joe Walls is here. You've been organizing all kinds of people, but especially veterans and formerly incarcerated people. And it's great to see you out organizing once again here in Dover.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you inviting me to this. My name is Joe Walls. I'm the CEO of Veteran Services. We lobby for incarcerated veterans, trying to get them out of prison and into veteran treatment facilities. And we broaden our advocacy to others that are being illegally incarcerated. We have the Dirty Dozen, which is a list of 12 guys that are in prison illegally. They're either innocent or they were overcharged or they're oversentenced. So we focused on 12 people that were pushing forward for this compassionate release bill that was introduced by Brian Townsend, the state senator, SB 10. We're behind that 100%, and we're encouraging everybody to contact their legislators and get this thing passed.
Do the 12 folks that you're talking about, they would be eligible for application under the SB 10?
Yes, they would. And they're in there. And some of them, let me tell you about some of them. You got one man in there, Rafi. Jesse Bryan is his name. Everybody calls him Rafi. He did two tours in Vietnam. He was in Vietnam. He was an MP. He was on a forward base. He put his life on the line every day that he was in service. Every day. He saved American lives. He saved Vietnamese civilian lives. He came home, and because he was so messed up from the war, he ended up getting in a situation over a woman and ended up in prison. In 1975, he was arrested, and he is still in prison. Roger Ray, he was out there on the front lines. He was another military police officer. He was over there on a fire base that got overrun. When I was in prison, he came in there. He came in the shower, took his shirt off. He got like over 30 cuts on his body where enemy were bayoneting him, stabbing him. And he wouldn't go down because he said he had to stay alive long enough to save his brothers that were in the battle. He came home, got into a domestic problem, went to prison in 1976. He's still in prison. Lawrence Dickens is another one, was in Vietnam. Combat soldier, all kinds of decorations. A war hero. He came home, got into a domestic problem. He's in prison. That was 1978, and he's still in prison. These guys need relief, man. It's a common problem with soldiers coming home from war that they have domestic problems. It's hard to go back into a family after you've been gone for a year or two, not alone carrying all that stuff that you had to do while you were in the military. It's a terrible situation. We got to do something to get these guys out, and this compassionate release bill is a start.
Yeah, it is just a start. I'm so glad you shared those stories, because you think about that time, all that time. For what? Well, for something that sort of the government conditioned you to do. Made exactly. You go out there and become a guard at a forward operating base or a soldier, you know, on the battlefield. And then, you know, just let you off to your own devices and locks you up for 50 years. We can't have it. We got to get these guys out.
That's exactly what we got to do. It's our duty. They served us in Vietnam. And these guys, I'm telling you, they're old. But they're still serving us inside the prison system, because without them, the whole prison system would collapse. It's the old guys that run the prison system to make sure the young guys don't get out of control. And when you interfere with that, you have riots and you have death. We got to do something for these guys.
Call your legislators. Tell them SB 10 must be passed this session. You know, we talk about bills here and there that we like, that we don't like. This is one. This should be something pretty straightforward. These people have served their time. They also served their country. They've done the things they need to do to be rehabilitated. And not only that, they're integral in the administration and the safety of the prisons as they are today.
Yes, they are.
So yeah, this is a real important issue, and I hope everybody understands what it is and reaches out to their representatives to say, let's pass SB 10 this session.
And let me say this in closing. There are 270,000 people in Delaware that have been arrested at one time or another. You're all involved in the system. This is the first time in the United States of America that prisoners and their families actually came to a state legislature and asked the state legislators personally to change the law to make it a little better so that they can actually be encouraged to change their lives while they're in prison and be successful when they come out.
Joe, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, and you're welcome.
Here we are with a VIP of sorts.
Not a bit.
Chief Defender. He's not an attorney, folks. He's a PD. Kevin O'Connell. How are you?
I'm doing well, Rob.
You're making your debut. Did you think you would be making your Highlands Bunker debut in the Leg Hall like this?
I never dreamed I would have a debut, but I knew it wasn't going to be in Leg Hall. But
sometimes things just work out this way.
It does. It does. How are
you
doing?
I'm doing well. I was glad to be able to get a lot of stories. The whole vibe is different. I was mentioning to a guy a couple of interviews ago. You know, I usually joke about being real down and gloomy, and this place sucks. And I mean, it's still not great, but the vibe in here today, with everybody sort of all different groups and all different kinds of people coming together for this lobby day, is actually pretty good. The vibes are actually neutral today. We'll say they're making them a little better.
It's great. Did you go to the exhibits upstairs?
Haven't been up yet. I went outside the door, but it was packed. So
artwork is fantastic. The bios are fantastic, and that's where you're seeing a lot of the good vibes coming.
Yeah.
I think. So it's a really good thing.
I mean, and you over the course of your years have dealt with a lot of these kind of a lot of these folks, and you particularly have such a good sort of demeanor about like looking at people as human beings, and I think that's what's necessary here.
Absolutely,
I think that gets lost in the mix sometimes.
I think you're exactly right. I think a lot of the people that are up on those boards, they were children. They were literally children when they were, they committed their offense, they were convicted, and they were sentenced. And 25, 30, 35, 40 years has gone by. They're different people now. And we as a state need to create a pathway for possibility, the possibility that someday they might return home. They've paid their debt. They are changed people. And we need to create a pathway for a second chance. I mean, we talk a lot about second chances in Delaware. This has got to be an area where we can give people a second look.
Yeah, it's in all of our interests. It's our responsibility collectively, and it's in all of our interests to have the services and the things there for people to be rehabilitated and come out. It makes for safer communities, it makes for safer neighborhoods, and it's just it's a first step to doing that.
And you're exactly right. It's not just the right thing to do; it's a smart thing to do. An aging prison population is an expensive prison population. So we need to create means by which people can return to their families, have reentry plans in place. You don't want to just open up the gate and dump somebody in the park. You need to have a plan in place so that people have social service net when they get out, and they have a place to go, they have a place to live, they have the opportunity for medical care, all of that. SB 10 is the start, and so.
Well, Kevin, thank you for sitting down. I know you didn't think you were going to make your debut today, but here we are.
I'm proud to do it. I'm glad to be here, Rob.
You know, we're going to shut off the microphones because I have something else to tell you, but we can't record it.
Okay, that sounds good.
Thanks. Well, that was fun. I loved meeting everybody. I had some side conversations with some folks who, I was giving them the business in my own special way. Trying to lobby them, say hello. But I'm glad we did that. The vibes were pretty good because there was a lot of people in today who were fighting for something important. And I really appreciated it. I appreciate meeting everybody. That was pretty dope. We'll be here next week. It's what we do. We try to give you news and information in our own way, a little bit gonzo way. Sometimes we insert ourselves into the process, and we set up shop in the lobby of Leg Hall. So sometimes it's what you got to do. I mean, I don't like it, but it's what you do. So we did it. And we'll talk to you soon. Left is best.